from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. All right, but Scoot's here, and this is where I talk about, like, just supporting the show. So this is really only for regular listeners. If you count on Sleep With Me or you use Sleep With Me on a regular basis, you're a long-term listener. Like, does Sleep With Me do anything unique for you, right? Is it a part of your life in it's a unique way? Like, when you just discovered the show or it started helping you, you're like, wow, I had no idea this existed, but I was looking for it. And then does it provide something for you? Is it unique and does it provide some? Does it do anything for you? Like, does it help you fall asleep or take your mind off of stuff so you could fall asleep? Or does it keep you company? Does it distract you during the day? So is it unique or somewhat unique? And does it do anything for you? If the answers are yes to the both of those, like, how much is that? Is that worth anything to you? How much are those things, the unique part and whatever it does for you, worth to you? But the other question is, like, if Sleep With Me went away, like, what would you be willing, like, would that change what it's worth to you? Would it change the value proposition? To get it back, oh yeah, I'd pay $50 a month, and you don't even have a tier at that level. So just think about that. But if any of that resonates with you, don't wait. We really are in a position now where for at least a time, I'm going to have to kind of, really work hard to get more people involved in supporting the show. We have the listeners. It's just getting the attention of enough listeners, a small percentage of people, but people that are said, oh, okay, I'll do it now. You just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and sign up, support the show. Even if you're not sure, sign up for they're all the trials are 7 days, and then you could change your mind. But at least then you've done something. You said, yes, it's unique. Yes, it really means something to me. Yes, it does something for me. And no, I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want it to go away. So thanks. Think about that. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. SleepWithMePodcast.com/plus. And tonight's episode of Sleep With Me is made possible by the help of Chris Posty Posterson, who does the theme music. Carl W., who edited this episode. Scotty and Jennifer Honor artwork. Jonathan Mann on the lullabies. And the listeners have a Facebook group, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods. I want to thank Lauren Lida, Summer and Sarah, and Julie and Jennifer, who moderate over there. And if you want to get me on Twitter, I'm at DearScooter. And let's get on with the show. Okay, hey, you've all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's been keeping you awake, whether it's thinking stuff, feeling, physical sensations, changes in the temperature, travel, you know, anything, stuff going on, life stuff, you know, still like that cat used to say. I think there's more than, like, what is it, because I was just watching season 2 of Mr. Robot, and at one point they had the hanging cat, but what is which one did they say, just hanging around, or how about a hand, I can't remember. But there is a cab. I think there's one that says stuff happens in a little bit harsher terms than that. But what was I going to say? I guess stuff happens in my brain. Sleep With Me, the podcast. But just so we do with the bedtime stories, you know, we do with a bit. So get a bit turn. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can. Sorry about that. They just rewound. That was a human rewind. That could be my nickname. If I go back to the 80s and I start, if I go on a sitcom, I'll be the human rewind. Anyway, I'm going to create a safe place. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use creaky, dulcet tones. Whatever's going on here. The crawl-in closet that I record the podcast in is a little bit cold tonight. Not uncomfortably cold. You know when someone says they caught a chill? like, because I just got home, and then I let go out and ran around a little bit, chatted, discussed some things about her bedding. This is my dog. And then I said, okay, you can lie in the bed right outside the closet, but you can't lick yourself. I said, no bathing in Sophia's bed, please. And Koa didn't make any promises. Smart dog. Dogs don't make promises. Holy cow, what was I talking about? So I'm going to create a safe place where you can set aside brain distractions. Oh, it's a little cold in here. That's what I was saying. It's just a little chilly, but in a kind of good way. I think this, if I was sleeping in this closet, you know, I did think about sleeping in this closet. Maybe so you want to learn some things about Scoots. I think this closet is about the width of a twin bed. And for a short time, I considered, I said, well, geez, could I sleep in that closet? It'd be like a little bit like a little fort. And actually, I wouldn't mind it. I mean, it's not quite enough room for me. And, you know, anyway, no TMI, but it's definitely, it would be a tight fit. It would be interesting. Now I'm thinking about selling it to say, well, what happened to the podcast? Scoot started sleeping in his studio and then got wrapped up in all his equipment. And then, you know, that was it for the podcast. Podcast that put him to sleep, he sleeps there. I don't know, we're on the verge of a pun now, but I guess it's not a pun. Like, the Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep in the spot I now sleep in. I mean, I could be on to something. I guess I would be like a guru. Like, didn't the Beatles, they went to, like, back in the day, all the birds, the Beatles, the Wings, I think, was the Beatles. Cream, I think Cream was the birds. You know, all those bands, they were good, the Beach Boys, weren't they all going to see gurus? Yeah, if I became a guru, if I start a guru-based podcast, I will be in a bed. I mean, I won't tell you it's a bed. It'll be a cushion, of course. And when you're a guru, you don't have bedding, you cushions. You don't have pillows, you cushions. Yeah, this is Scoots. What would we call it? It wouldn't be Sleep With Me. It could be Sleep With Us. Sleep With One. I don't know. We'll think of a title, but this is Scoots, your sleep generator here, broadcasting from the cloud closet on my cushions in the cloud closet here. I don't know if I can't even do a few minutes of it, but one day I'll be a guru. You know, when we get to, when it say, well, yeah, you started believing. I don't know what happened. We wanted to say he started believing in too much, but it was really he just started sleeping in the same place he recorded the podcast. So all his boundaries fell down. And once you lose those boundaries, you know, then your podcast becomes all, it goes from consuming, nearly all consuming, to total, you know, he became consumed with the podcast. He was recording, and also, you know, he lost a lot of the audience when he started recording in his sleep. And just releasing those as episodes, because anyway, holy cow, just a podcast intro. If you're new here, welcome. Usually I try to make a metaphor about what the podcast, so the, let me do the setup for you, because actually to welcome you, you picked a great time, you picked an interesting time. You picked a decent time to join us, because we actually have I'm not even sure the exact segment structure, but what we usually do is we have like our open part of the show, you know, where we cover all the business and promote anything. Then we have an intro. The intro is usually 8 to 12 minutes of me rambling. A lot of people fall asleep during the intro. You know, we welcome all our friends beyond the binary, all the binaries. Everybody's welcome here. And then I try to explain the podcast, and I try to make a metaphor, explain the techniques. And I think chilled brain would be, that's what it is tonight. And that is something that works with the podcast. Chilled brain. Sleep With Me. The Chilled Brain Podcast. Maybe I should have called it that. The Chilled Brain Podcast. The podcast that puts your brain to chill. I mean, we could do that one. I won't do like market an eye to iTunes. That'll be straight brain. I don't know. Brains don't shop at this point, but that'll be a future market when brains do their own shopping. They'll be like, well, what's the difference between Sleep With Me and the Chilled Brain podcast? This Scooter just does a different voice. He just reads his old transcripts. Yes, hello, welcome to the Chilled Brain podcast. He split into three different people, and he was already, so that made four, because he was Scooter, he was Drew. Then he became the Thaddeus Thinnenberg, the host of the Chilled Brain podcast. And then, you know, something else. I don't know what my guru name would be. But so if you're new here, welcome. This is a podcast to take your mind off, so you don't got to take it very seriously. Tonight, so I'll finish up this intro. I'll try to explain the podcast. Tonight will be, this will be like a pilot. So, you know, if you're, you know, give me some leeway. Ideally, just fall asleep whenever you want, because you're not going to miss anything. If you can't sleep, I'll be here giving it my all. But you'll be under no pressure to fall asleep. Tonight I'll be talking about Star Trek The Next Generation. And, you know, I'm sure I'll be apologizing a lot, but let me just, you know, this will be the first time I'm talking about it on a podcast or, you know, other than general conversation. So I don't know what's going to happen, and I can guarantee it'll have meanders. It'll be lulling, soothing tones, pointless meanders, creaky dulcet tones, pregnant pauses, mispronunciations, you know, to talk about uniforms. I'll be doing that a lot. But so I think what we'll do tonight, you know, finish up this intro. We'll do a run through of the episode, at least one run through, maybe two, maybe like a non-dialogue and then a dialogue run through of the episode. Then maybe we'll talk, try to learn some stuff, and that'll be it. So if you're new here, this, you don't got to take this podcast seriously. You know, you don't even have to like me. You know, you like it, and ideally, you could give it a few tries. You might grow to like me. I mean, a lot of people they consider me their boyfriend because that's why I'm doing it. I've been there, sleepless, tossing and turning, unable to get to sleep, staring at, so I can relate to what you're going through. And then you go to, and they say, "Why do you look so terrible?" You say, "I can't sleep." And they say, "Well, geez, why do you, you know, why can't you sleep?" I said, "Why are you asking me so many questions?" "Because that's why." "Okay, leave me alone." They said, "Well, why are you so grouchy?" "Because you can't sleep." "Well, maybe if you were less of a grouch," you know, that whole thing. But so if you're new here, just give the show a few tries. I may grow on you. There's no pressure, though. You're not, like, I'm not in a hurry to, like, I'm in a hurry to win your trust. Like, so I hope you trust me if you're skeptical. You know, trust me, and then part of that trust will be like, "Well, geez, I tried the podcast a few times, it doesn't work for me." Or, you know, "I put on the podcast for my pets, I don't listen to it myself, my cats and dogs do." And, you know, it gets all their, you know, they do all their hissing when you're podcasting, and say, so it's great here at the, you know, wherever you're playing that'd be great. Cesar Millan, send me a check if you're doing that. But I guess my message is that I make this podcast. It's a little bit different. I'm always learning, or, you know, to taking two steps back to take one step forward. But usually I'm taking my steps to the side. Well, say, let's go down this little path here and see what this is. So this is our new show, our new episode about Star Trek. Doesn't even have the Star Trek The Next Generation. I don't have a witty even title yet. So this is like a pilot. It's not about the Star Trek Next Generation pilot. There's a spoiler. But I'm glad you're here. I appreciate your time. I really hope and I really yearn to help you fall asleep. So thanks for stopping by.
All right, buddy. This is Scoots here. If you're new, you don't have to listen to this or worry about it. But if you're a regular listener, maybe you had the same experience I had when I tried to make the show, which was like, how come there's not something out there that sees how I'm feeling in the deep, dark night? And so I decided to make Sleep With Me because I said, is anybody else feeling this loneliness, this inability to turn off, that needs a distraction and a friend, that needs a podcast that puts you to sleep? And so I made Sleep With Me. And the reason we asked for support for the show, whether it's supporting the sponsors or supporting the show directly on Sleep With Me Plus, is because it over 120 hours per week of work goes into the show right now. And in the past, I did as much of that as I could myself, and that was never sustainable, right? So if you do count on it, supporting it, just make sure it'll be there for you. So your action, kind of, you know, make sure Sleep With Me will be there for you, but a lot of other people too. Kind of cool bonus. And if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, you get everything organized in the way you want to listen. You get story-only episodes. At certain tiers, you get all intro episodes. You get all-night, extra-long compilations. You get bonus shows and exclusives that might not fit in this main feed, and you get ad-free full episodes, of course. But you also get that peace of mind and that joy of participating in something. I don't know, you say, wow, I'm glad this is in the world because I needed it. So if any of that appeals to you, think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. But thanks, and those of you that are hearing this have supported the show in the past, thanks a lot, because the show's here because of you. And this isn't, I know not everybody's in a position to support the show, so I totally understand that too, and that's a great thing again for the people that do. There's people that would love to support the show but they can't, or there's people that would love to support the show but they're just kind of stuck or whatever, so your support supports the show for them too, so thank you so much.
Okay, hey everybody, this is me in the past and the future, I guess, because I decided to kind of mix up the, you know, since this is a pilot episode, I'm trying to figure out, but I wanted to kind of focus on the main reason I chose this episode. And so this, I guess, will be the first sequence, is this one scene that happens at about 20, let me see my notes here, 25 minutes into the episode. Because not only did I just think it is such a, it's just a great scene. And at this point, I'd watch maybe, I don't know, but when I saw this episode, 20, 30 episodes of The Next Generation, and I don't know, there's just something about this scene that kind of relates to, I guess, well, there's a bedtime story, so I mean, that's the main reason, spoiler alert, but I think just Picard's acting, and Paul Winfield, and just their interaction, and it's just like, I don't know, so I just want to cover this scene first. Which takes place at a campfire at 25 minutes about into the episode. And our two friends are there, Jean-Luc Picard, captain of the Starship Enterprise, and the other character, what I'm seeing here is Dathan. I don't know, I don't have a confirmation on that, though. This is just where I could do, but they're sitting around the campfire, and Paul Winfield's character is not feeling well. And let me just read through my notes, and I'll read through some of the dialogue. He has a giant thumb. Is that a 20? Is this when they're in bed? Let me just double check. No, this is too early. So it looks like it's 30 minutes in about 30 minutes and 50 seconds. My phone's not booting up the video for some reason. But, you know, it's a little bit of a fireside chat scene. Picard is very fatherly. We'll go into the dialogue, but he's very thoughtful and interested. And he says, tell me more. Then he says, give me more about Darmok. And then he draws a rock. It's just like this quest for understanding, which I think is reflective of one of the things this series is about and one of the things the podcast is about. These two are becoming friends beyond the binary, really. And it'll be a short friendship beyond the binary, but I don't know. So let's see. So it kind of starts out. Let's see. I'll kind of quote and paraphrase. But the guy's lying down. Paul Winfield says, Darmok and Chelada Tanagra. And Picard's starting to understand the speed. He goes, oh, yeah, we're in the same spot. They were in a tough spot. We're in a tough spot. I get that. But he goes, they need more. You must tell me more about Darmok and Chelada. Use Temba the arms wide. Does that mean give Temba his arms wide? He goes, and then but he means about Darmok. He goes, give me more about Darmok. And so he goes, Darmok on the ocean. So Picard kind of goes, Darmok, the ocean, Darmok on the ocean, a metaphor for being alone, isolated, Darmok on the ocean. And then the guy says something else. And then Picard says, Temba. Now it's playing too. Temba, my arms open. Give me more about Darmok and the ocean. And then he says, Tanagra on the ocean. Darmok and Tanagra. And he goes, oh, it's an island. Okay, okay. You tell Temba, his arms wide. Tell me more. And he says, Jalada on the ocean, Jalada, Tanagra. So he goes, okay, Jalada, Tanagra. Darmok and Jalada are at Tanagra. And then Darthan says, one of the dudes from whatever that show, Power Rangers on Tanagra. And he goes, oh, that dude, Power Rangers Triceratop on Tanagra. And he goes, okay, so they dealt with it. And the guy says, okay, and then Darmok and Jalada on the ocean. He goes, oh, they left together. And then he goes, yeah, he goes, but I'm not feeling good. But he likes that, the ocean. And then Picard's like, oh, wait a second, you wanted this to happen, huh? You wanted us to be here together, and you knew this was going to happen. You knew it from this myth, this tale. Sometimes these things bring two people together. Darmok and Jalada Tanagra, you and me here at El Adrell. And he says, Kiribati Temba, his arms wide. And then Picard means, oh, you want you, because the guy's like, hey, tell me a story. I want to go to sleep. Tell me a bedtime story, Jean-Luc. And Picard's very good. He says, my turn. No, I'm not much of a storyteller. Besides, you wouldn't understand. Shaka when the walls fell. He goes, well, perhaps it doesn't matter. You want to hear it anyway. He goes, there's a story, Ancient One, Gilgamesh, a king, Gilgamesh at Uruk. And he was a bad king, kind of a jerk. So they said, send Enkidu to deal with, you know, to give him somebody to deal with. And then, you know, Gilgamesh and Enkidu, first they didn't get along. Then they became friends at Uruk. And he likes that. He goes, Uruk. And then he goes, yeah, and then they went out into the desert. And the great bull of heaven was out there messing with people. And Enkidu caught the bull by the tail and Gilgamesh took it out. And the guy laughs, he goes, oh, that Gilgamesh taking those things out. And he goes, yeah, they won, but, you know, Enkidu didn't win, kind of like you. And then he quotes, he says, he who was my companion through adventure and hardship is gone forever. And Paul Winfield, being a great actor, he says, well, it's my time to go out. Then we go back to the bridge. It's just a wonderful fireside scene. The two captains or commanders, I don't know, and just fine acting in a bedtime moment. I mean, a big sleep it ends up, but it was sleep nonetheless and comforting. Yeah. And then they go back to the bridge, and Worf and Riker and Data and everybody in the Forge are trying to, you know, they say, okay, let's just, the Temarian's not in good shape, so we got to get Picard out of there. So they figure out how to get Picard out before the entity, you know, the Triceratops. Oh, there's Triceratops from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers on the planet with them. You'll hear that in the explanations later. And then, so then Picard lies out this guy, Paul Winfield, Dathan, I guess. And then he goes, hey, I understand your sacrifice, but he goes, if I don't win, he goes, I don't know what's going to happen to us or my ship. And then they're back on the bridge and everybody's worried about getting Commander off the ship. And they give Picard, this you'll find out during the episode, but the other ship, I guess it's not important right now. We're concentrating on this scene, and then this is a bridge. I'm watching this. Gilgamesh, a king, this Picard says. Gilgamesh, a king. At Uruk, he's using a lot of body language, concrete body language. Really great. I really love the scene so much. And he's like overacting, but in an acting way. I think I had already done one recap. I think I was wrong, but I had rewatched this a couple times since then. But then they get Picard back on the ship. Then the enemy ship, you know, the captain ship, they go after the Enterprise. And they're really kicking the Enterprise's butt. And then Picard rolls like super, like alpha mode or something. They're like, we can't take another hit. And then Picard says, hail the Temarian ship. And they say, aye, Captain. The Temarian gets on. He goes, Cinda. his face black, his eyes red. And then Picard's right on. He goes, Tamak, the river Tamak in winter. And the guy goes, what, Darmok? And Picard says, of course, Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra, Darmok and Jalad on the ocean. And the guy's like, what? He goes, Sokov, his eyes open, like this guy can kind of speak our language. And then he says, dudes, there was like some Triceratops from Mighty, I don't know if you have Mighty Morphin Power Rangers where you are, but we do. And that was a Triceratops down there from that. So that was no good for your Dharma, you know, your guy. So he goes, Unzani, his army, Shaka, when the walls fell. And everyone kind of like looks down and they say Shaka when they do a little ceremony and, you know, they're sad that Shaka when the walls fell. And then the second in command says, Picard and Dathan at Aldrell, Mirab, sails unfurled. With sails unfurled, I like that line. And then Picard goes to give the guy Spork back, which he had. He goes, Temba, his arms open. And they go, no, Temba at rest, you keep it. And then Picard says, thanks. And then everything's back to normal. And then he kind of finishes out with, like, Riker saying, you think those are new friends? And he goes, I don't know. Picard says to Riker, I don't know, but at least they're not new enemies. And then I cover this in the recap, but, like, Riker goes back in it's captain's quarters in, what do you call that at the end? Epilogue or whatever. He says, Jesus, do you mean to walk in on you, Captain? He goes, I got the damage reports. He goes, what are you reading, some Greek? And he goes, hey, these Homeric hymns, the root metaphors of our culture. And Riker says, for the next time we encounter the Tamarians, and Picard says, you know, being familiar with our own mythology might be able to help us relate to theirs. He goes, that Tamarian was willing to risk, everything for a connection and communication. He goes, now the door is open. But he goes, that commitment to communication between cultures meant more to this guy than, you know, his own ego. And he goes, thanks, number one. Hit the road. I got to, you know. And then Picard goes and looks out the window and salutes the guy. A couple more notes on the last scene. Picard, Data was really impressed when Captain Picard is speaking in the other culture's metaphors. You know, Riker says, I have no choice. I need those phasers. And the entity's getting close to Picard as Picard's putting his buddy to bed. And now I'm going to hop back to the beginning of the episode, just run through it, the rest of it. But that was really like the main thing that stuck out to me. And I don't know if this is how it'll always go, but let's see. So it opens Captain's Log, Stardate 450472. 450047, I have 5-2. Talking about Ellen Drell's system, this enigmatic race known as the Children of Tama. And then they say, geez, we're getting, they say they've been here 4 weeks and they're transmitting a subspace signal to the Federation. And Data goes, it's not a message, so it's a standard mathematical progression. Riker's like, oh, so they know we're here. And says, yeah, they want to communicate with us. So there's great star motion outside the windows. Then someone says a cause for concern. What does that mean? Colors of the crew. What do they mean? Let's see. Let me look. Yeah, there's only been 7 encounters, and they're called incomprehensible by Captain Silvestri. Picard says, are they truly incomprehensible? In my experience, communication is a matter of patience and imagination. I would like to believe these are qualities we have in significant measure. Then they go to the bridge and they're on screen with the guy Dathan and he's talking and they're like, we can't understand him. And Counselor Troy says, well, I can only sense good intentions. And they say, Data, what do you think they're saying? And he says, proper names of individuals and locations. And Picard says, yeah, but what does it mean? He goes, I don't know, boss. And at this point, Picard's playing straight. He goes, would you want to do a mutual non-aggression pact between our two peoples with a trade agreement and cultural interchange? Does that sound like a reasonable course of action? And that cracks the crew up. And then Dayton says, a river to mock in winter. And Riker says, geez, we're trying to communicate. And then they say a bunch of stuff, sails unfurled, Darmok at Tanagra, that whole thing. And then they transport Picard and their other captain down to the planet, and then they block the planet so they can't be transported off. Particle scattering field in the ionosphere. And Riker tries to figure out a way to deal with it, but, you know, it's... Also, the guy has giant long thumbs. I guess they put, don't you Tamok me, the river Tamok. He says, oh, snap. They had a great cut to Troy's reaction around there. And then when they did that, they secretly transported Picard and the other guy. I'm like, why don't they do that all the time, those secret transporter moves? They've seen it in a couple other episodes. They end up at a very Earth-like planet with wildflowers. It looks great in HD, but it's not. It's 4:3, at least the one I was watching. I was watching Amazon 4:3. And we're back in the ship, you know, so Dathan and Picard are on the planet. And Riker's like, Data, I want some analysis on this. And he goes, well, everything's looking good. Then they say, they try to get a hold of the other ship, and they say, the other ship says, you know, no way, bro. We're not, his eyes are closed. Shinazga Court, the Court of Silence. And Riker says, well, what do you think, Data? He goes, well, we got to study this. He goes, well, get to work. You and Troy figure this out. And Riker says, I got to figure out some other things. And then we got the fire. Dathan has a fire where Picard doesn't at the planet. And Data says, Shaka, when the walls fell. And Picard says, Shaka, indeed, what are you going to do? Why are we here? He goes, I'm cold, too. And Data says, Darmok of Khan, and then Kanza. And Picard says, Picard of the Enterprise, Starship Enterprise, planet Earth. And then I'll cover this in the next, after this. But, you know, Data gets ready for bed. And then he gives Picard some fire to stay warm. So then you think, okay, this Dathan's an RA character. He did all these things to get ready for bed. What else do I have in my notes here? Oh, I like this. Picard says, analysis, what in the hell is going on? And that made me raise a question that we'll probably not look up tonight, but of like, geez, do they have a Judeo-Christian influence? Like, do they believe in hell? I mean, I guess so. Like, once you've seen all those other planets, I just wonder. But Picard's a little too suspicious, I thought. The guy has a great vest on. It's got, like, multicolor knitting and different, very, very beautiful vest. Knitted in against great ship versus other ship talk, Zin-Ra. I don't know what that means. And then Riker's walking around. I don't know what any of that means. I think that was when they were talking to the other ship, and he says, Shinra Zinra, and Riker's just pacing, like, the bridge. Then Picard's using, like, a spinning, like, he's trying to light it. When he tries to do the campfire, it doesn't work. I guess I'm skipping around, but I'm like, he didn't watch any Survivor. Oh, this is another, because the guy says a lot of times they say Shaka when the walls fell. And I was like, does that mean, and so it goes, like, when the walls fell? Because he's like, you can't light a fire, Shaka, when the walls fell. And I'm like, oh, and so it goes, when the walls fell, Shaka, when the walls fell, and so it goes. And then that's when the guy takes off his things and does this little prayer-like ceremony to protect his bed space. Then he pulls a Prometheus. He says, Temba, here's some fire for you, Picard. His arms wide, because he's holding, and Picard says, his arms wide. And he goes, yeah, because his arms are wide, Jean-Luc. That's why. Don't take this as a criticism. I did put no duh. And then he says, thank you, and the guy got it. So I'm like, well, thank you's universal. Then there's an act break. Then the shuttle goes in. It makes a big turn, like just when it comes on screen. And then we're on the bridge. Data's, you know, trying to come up with a plan. Or he's selling the plan. Okay, this is what's going to happen. And all's going well. But then the shuttle, you know, the other group's like, no, that shuttle's not going anywhere. And Riker's very impressed. And then Geordi and the other officers are trying to make plans again and debating, like, the moves they could make and the consequences. Riker uses the word hell again. Who in the hell are these people? Then we're down on the planet. Picard wakes up, looks around for his buddy. He investigates. He looks at his pins, and he sees this notebook. First, I thought it was an iPad, but it was a notebook. It's a captain's log. We don't see it, though. Or actually, we do later. I think they do show a drawing from it. And then Data and the crew, Data's watching the other crew with Troy. Troy's changed. She's in red. She was in gray before. Data drops it. He goes, so these are proper nouns. There's also a sculpture on the wall. I was like, is that Earth? I couldn't count the planets because I guess I don't know why I didn't freeze it. And then, oh, then we see the log. Very good handwriting this Darmakian has, this Tamarian. Picard's in gray. I also was like, okay, Picard had this jacket on. Maybe we'll cover that. He knocks the pad out of it. He goes, Temba, man, we got trouble. Then that's when I noticed the multicolored speckles on his vest, not just the knitting. Because Temba, her arm's wide, and Picard says, well, I could go with that. Then Worf and Geordi are trying to figure out this variable induction field. Then we see Ashley Judd, of all people, who I just saw in another episode where, I didn't even realize she was in this one, but I had watched the other one. And she says 53 at the very least. I didn't know. Geordi wants to shunt something. And he says, well, she says, that's a chance. Riker says, Geordi's like, I've got, you know, we're shunting down here. And he says, that's a chance we got to take. And then we realize that the guy, the reason they're on the planet is to deal with this the Tamarian and Picard are supposed to deal with this Triceratops from, why do I keep forgetting that show? Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. So then they get to deal with this Triceratops. So he tries to communicate with Picard. He says, you know, sails unfurled, and Picard says, and he says, Shaka, when the walls fell. And then Picard says, Shaka, you said that before. Is that a failure, an inability to do something? And Jason says, Darmok and Jalad. And Picard says, Tanagra, I know, but I don't get it. And then they cut back to the ship, you know, because they're trying to get Picard out. And then Dathan says, Lashmir, his army at Lashmir or something. This is when Picard's like a little bit hammy. He's like, Lashmir? Like, was this like a Lashmir? A similar situation to the one we're facing here? And then he says, Uzani, his fists, army fists open. And Picard says, oh, a strategy, fist open. With open fist. And Dathan says, his army with fist closed. He goes, fist closed. He goes, okay, so we got to lure this closed. And he goes, oh, that's how you communicate, by citing example, by metaphor. Unaz, and then Picard says, you want me to move away from you? And then Dathan says, his eyes uncovered. And he goes, you're like, oh, you get it. But then they start dealing with the Triceratops, and right when things get intense, you know, Mighty Morphin Power Ranger style, Picard gets half transported off the ship. So then his buddy's there by himself to deal with the Triceratops. And that's why later they have to lie down by the fireside in the upcoming scenes that I talked about first. So that's a little bit. And then we're just going to cover two facts, which I guess I could cover right here. I'll just open Evernote while I'm talking. Live podcast production. And it's hanging, I guess this is maybe early in the series to look this up, but I was like, man, what's up with the colors of the Star Trek Next Generation uniforms. What do those mean? And so, of course, I went to Wikipedia. Where else would I go? According to Wikipedia, the rank and insignia, the royal rank system of the Star Wars universe resembles that of the U.S. Navy and the British Royal Navy. In contrast, other science fiction shows that might use an army system. And later, that's about movies. The original series are bins by, in later television series, ranks are indicated by the number of pips on or bars on individuals' uniform collars. Insignias are worn on the left breast by all personnel, and the different shape based on the ship or base to which the person has been assigned, as seen in different series. A symbol within the insignia can indicate the wearer's branch. A star with an elongated top point, I didn't know this, indicates command, a circle, crossed by an oval, science and medical, an angular spiral, operations and engineering, and there's been other slight variations. Let's see, Star Trek The Next Generation. Starfleet officers and crew members in Next Generation wear a jumpsuit with a Starfleet communicator badge, or a comm badge, as it's sometimes called, on the left chest, and the rank insignia on the right side of the collar. The uniform sleeves and abdominal area are colored to indicate the individual's branch. So this is where I was questioned. Red indicating command and helm. Gold for engineering and security. And operations, blue for science and medical. But there's people in gray, so it doesn't really... The division colors for command and operations switched from those used in Enterprise and TOS. In early episodes, some crew members can be seen wearing a tunic version of the uniform with bare legs and boots. Sometimes Beverly Crusher wears a blue lab coat. Sometimes the blue would be teal. In some episodes, this is what we're going to talk about. Jean-Luc Picard would wear a different uniform that consisted of a gray shirt with ribbed black shoulders and a bomber jacket with red. That was red kind of velour. And this is the first episode he wore it. And they said, what the heck's with that jacket? It looks sweet. It was a red jacket with black ribbed shoulders. Without buttons, like an open jacket. And I looked up, there was a lot of debate about this, but they basically said, Picard said, you know, I think the captain should have something sweet to wear from time to time. That's like, well, the captain can, and they, I think the most, like most of the writing about it said, well, this is like kind of the captain's casual uniform. Unlike F at, you know, F Friday, you know, something Fridays or whatever, he's, Picard's like, you know, whatever. Uniforms could have pouches for stuff, gear pouches. In the early seasons, the suits were made of spandex, but they were small, so they would stretch and look smooth. But the cast didn't like that, and no pockets. So they were replaced with wool uniforms from the third season onward, and two-piece shirt and pant designs. It didn't have colored piping on the shoulders and the pant legs. And the collars of the shirts have a colored edge of width similar to the original diamond-shaped shoulder piping. Spandex uniforms continued to make appearances by extras, and they were later altered to lack the piping so they would match and include a raised collar as a cost-cutting measure. Admirals would wear different uniforms, and by the sixth season, they had a final design featuring an untucked jacket with gold piping, a centered enclosure, and pips encased in a gold square on the sides of the collar. The Next Generation dress uniform, which continued to be used in Deep Space Nine and Voyager, is a colored wraparound robe-like coat of a solid division color, save for black shoulders. The edges of the robe-like coats are piped in silver for field officers and gold for flag officers. Other uniform designs appeared briefly from other ones. The costume designer from the original series returned to design the initial Next Generation uniforms, and then Robert Blackman took over in season three, designing the uniforms. During all the shows set in the 24th century, a consistent insignia scheme is used for the officers. Gold pips worn on the right collars, like we said. After the first season of Next Generation, a consistent scheme is also used for the Admiral insignias that we kind of covered. Starfleet on the left breast, also the communication badge. Cadet ranks are rarely ever seen except when Wesley comes, back from school, back from the, what was that place called? Starfleet Academy. So that's just like, we'll do that. Maybe we'll find more time. We're going to do another run through here, but, maybe we'll, as we go on and we get through this pilot of doing a few of these, we'll see how much we can balance out learning stuff. But it was just a little bit we could learn about the uniforms. All right, let's run through the episode one more time, which I did first, so it'll be disorienting maybe. It was my first run through, so I figured I'd use it second. Always improving. All right, thanks everybody. All right, so I'm going to run through the episode here. It starts off 4504571 2. Which is it? So that was a phone number that in my childhood had 472 in it. First thing I noticed, because I had watched it, like this wasn't the first Next Generation episode I watched, but it was Picard's jacket. It like was layered. It had velour, some leather. It was a new jacket, and this was. So I don't know if he had it on season 5, episode 1, or what the story is behind it. I'll look into it. Had leather shoulders. They're talking about the children of Tama. They use words like incomprehensible, are the truly. Picard goes to Troy and then to Data. Am I in the right spot here? You want to talk about enigmatic. My notes are enigmatic. Enigma. I can say enigma. Enigmatic. I don't know why I have trouble with that. Is that a normal thing or is that just me? Don't answer that. Picard goes to Troy, then to Data. At some point, Troy is like behind Picard. She has a good look. They talk to these children of Tama on the mic, and they're cracking the dude and his sidekick up. Paul Winfield, the great actor, stars in this. And that's when I first saw it. Laughter is universal, but they didn't pick up on it. And they say, Darmok, when the walls fell, sails unfurled. Then we see Picard at some point. So these are my first, this is my first use, so please be forgiving of me. Because I didn't even know. I said, geez, how am I going to take notes on Star Trek? So then I missed some stuff, but they'll come up on my next run through. Then Picard's on the planet with the dude. He had two utensils, the dude. Darmok, I don't know what his name is. Darmok, we could call the character. And then they had act break one, and then the show opens. So in the first, whatever this is called, first act, I don't think this is the first act. I don't know that much about structuring these TV shows. But we did find out they were going to see the children of Tama. They met with them, and then they said, hey, they were having trouble communicating. And then the next thing they know, Picard and the leader of the other group were transported to a planet. And then for Picard, he all of a sudden, next thing he knows, he's transported to a planet with this dude who's got two sporks on him. Then it opens Darmok. They're on a ship. This is on the Enterprise. Riker's there with Data and Troy. And they're trying to get a plan, an idea. Then Worf says, contest, perhaps. They're having like a staff meeting saying, she's okay. Why do you think, what should we do? Riker's commanding officer. says, why did they bring, what are they doing with our commander, and what should we do? So Worf thinks it's like a battle of champions, and they're trying to get to the bottom of it. Then back on the planet, the guy says, he says, Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra. And so a lot of this is, what I really liked about this is it's about this difficulty to communicate. Then he throws the utensils to Picard. Picard says, I don't want your spork. Then we get back to the Enterprise, and they say, well, geez, everybody's in good health down there. Picard calls ship. So they call the other, they call back to the Children of Thomas ship. And the second in command talks right into the camera. He gets his face, or they get their face right up in the camera. But they don't know what he's saying. He's just disagreeing because they don't have, the language can't be interpreted. Oh, that's like a main thing about the show, this episode. This is my first time, so I got to give myself some leeway here. But they're not, I'm having trouble communicating about the episode. But so the main hang-up is there's no way to translate the language that the Darmokians are speaking, or the Tamanians, the children of Tama. But they do seem to speak in some sort of English, like some sort of figurative language, I think, is what we learn. Okay, so where were we? Darmok on the ship, Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra. Picard's in a good, so then they say, hey, let's send down a shuttle. Then we're back on the planet. The dude, like this, the Darmok has this great fire going. It's nighttime on the planet. And Picard pretends he's a character on like a Boy Scout or Survivor TV show. And he gets his fire just about started, but then it goes out. But then he gives up. I said, which Captain Picard is this? Because I never met this one. And Darmok guy just kind of laughs. He says, Shaka when the walls fell, and he cracks up. And you see they cannot communicate, and Picard's getting cold. Then this guy does this very ritual thing, where he takes his pins off of his uniform, and he touches his forehead kind of in a prayer. And he kind of creates a protective circle. Then he goes to sleep with his spork. But Picard says, well, let me try one of the things I learned at the academy, passive-aggressive pacing. So he starts pacing around, and the dude's like, yo, I'm trying to sleep over here, Picard. But he couldn't communicate, so he couldn't say that. Like, Shaka, when my eyes fell, because I'm trying to sleep. So Picard's pacing around, so the guy says, well, you know, WTF. So he says, hey, why don't you just take some of my fire, use it to light yours. He says, Temba. Temba arms wide. And I mean, I did watch, this was my second time watching it, and I watched it a third time. I said, well, that's pretty, Temba arms wide, that's pretty non-threatening. But Picard, he's and I love Picard, so don't take this as any criticisms, just this episode. He's like kind of overreaching. And the dude's like, Temba arms wide, man. It's simple. Just take the friggin' fire. And then Picard says, thank you. And the guy cracks up. So then Picard starts his fire. And then we have another ad break. Then we're back in the Enterprise. And Picard's like, this is the first officer's log, supplemental. And Worf's on a panel thing. In the shuttle, they're in the E region of the atmosphere, headed towards the D region, and they're making no attempt to stop them, the other ship, then they are, so they say evasive maneuvers Delta, and the shuttle gets damaged just enough that it has to turn back, but not enough to harm anyone. That's what Riker says. And then they close up on Riker. He says, nice shooting. Then there's another staff meeting, and Riker, he uses some strong, he says, who the hell are these people? And then Geordi comes up with some great idea, and he says, do it. And then it's the next day, it's morning, Picard wakes up, his fire's out, and his friend's gone. There's a lot of wildflowers. It looked like You know, they could have been in somewhere similar to Southern California. And he walks over, since he walks over the fire circle from the other guy, he checks out the other guy's pins that he had kind of created this protective safe place. And at first I thought the guy had like an iPad, but then it was just like a notebook. It was his captain's log. And what does this say? Then we go back to the ship Data. I thought that said Dad's. Data studying the communication with Counselor Troy. And there's like freeze in the video. It was cool. I mean, this was like modern day, you know, in the future. Like they say, okay, rewind that video computer. And they're trying to pick out words, and then they recognize a couple proper nouns, and they have the computer. They say, computer, search for the meaning of that word. And they have hope for a second, but then there's too many like definitions. Like one was a frozen dessert. I don't know if that was Darmok. And then Counselor Troy seemed very frustrated, but then Data's not giving up. Then they say Darmok at Tanagra, and they realize it's got some mythical meaning to it. And then we're back. Then the ad break, another ad break, and then Picard's head looking at the captain log. He gets busted by the dude, and Picard thinks the guy's mad at him, but really he's like, dude, there's a snarl coming. I know that's when the act break it comes. And then we're back on the planet, and Picard's like behind Temba, his arms wide. He goes, okay, I'll go along with that. They say, let's get these sporks. This is like a snarling, like ice cream thing. So we got to spork like some of the ice cream out of it and eat it. Then we see war back in the ship. Worf's like, oh, there's trouble down there. There's something else. So then Riker says, Riker to LaForge, how much time we got till you fix this? And he says, I don't know, 2-3 hours maybe. He goes, I don't care. Get it done now. And he says, okay, 2 minutes. I'll get it done. Not sure if it'll work. So then they go back to the deck. Then they go to O'Brien and then the planet. And then it's like that we see this cloaked thing. It's a Shaco when the walls fall. It ends up the ice cream creatures from, what's that show called? Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. It's a character, some ice cream character from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And then they say, LaForge says, I'm almost there. He says, shunt the overload. Then O'Brien says, link confirmed. Then the planet, they get Picard, and they're trying so hard to get Picard, but Picard's trying to help his buddy with his Power Rangers because they're not Power Rangers. I mean, Picard's pretty close. So is this other guy. Oh, no, wait. They haven't tried to get Picard yet. I jumped the gun because then they're communicating. He says his army with fist open, fist closed. Paul Winfield's character's trying to communicate with Picard. And then Picard realizes, he goes, oh, you communicate by metaphor. And Picard's so happy. And then the dude's happy. And he says, Sukat, his eyes uncovered or something. I did like it, though. His eyes uncovered. That makes total sense. He goes, oh, you get it. This is when the Power Ranger shows up, or the Power Ranger ice cream creature. And then Picard gets transported away. He says, no, no, no. But then they can't keep him, and not enough of him gets down. So then we're back on the ship. Kurlash, when it rises. I don't know what that meant. And then Picard's back. He runs to the dude. He goes, Shaka, when the walls fell. And then we had the fourth break of officer's log. Something about a plum nomen palace gone. Upland nomen palace gome. First officer's log. No. When we do the dialogue, but then they have a staff meeting. Dr. Crusher gives some options. More dragons of atmosphere. They're discussing the atmosphere. Then they say something about the polarity coil drive. And they say, okay, it's going to take a few hours. And then Riker says, make it so. And then Data and Troy are onto it. They say, geez, it seems like they communicate by narrative imagery. The problem is that we can understand the grammar, but not the vocabulary. So we're kind of nowhere. And then this great line, without the details, there is no understanding. And it's nighttime again. There's a fire. I don't know who started it, but the guy's on the ground. Picard's there, protecting, like watching over him. And they really have a great one-on-one scene. He goes, you know, just a really nice scene. He says, hey, tell me more about, because the guy's not feeling so good. He ate too much ice cream. So Picard says, tell me more about Darmok and Jalad. And then Picard kind of breaks down. He says, Darmok and the ocean. He goes, okay, it's a metaphor. And he slowly figures it all out. It's kind of obvious. I mean, I'm saying that like I am actually a jerk, I guess, for saying that. But again, I have the advantage of watching a TV show and not being in there. But then there's this bonus, you know, it goes deeper. Then Picard has this extra realization. He goes, you were hoping this would happen. You knew. A danger shared brings two people together. And then Picard tells a bedtime story. So that's why I chose this episode, is like, because it was about communication. And then Picard tells a bedtime story from Gilgamesh. Something, I don't know, something about living on a farm. And the guy, Paul Winfield, Darmok, cracks up. He goes, Gilgamesh. That's hilarious. He finds him. And then there was all this foreshadowing, and then there's an act break, and we come back from the break, and it's time to break the stalemate. They call them the Tamarians, so that's what you call them. The Tamarian may have gone to the farm, they say. And then the Power Ranger guy shows up, goes after Picard, but then they get him out, so then the battle doesn't go well. With the other ship, but then Picard rolls up on the bridge, and then he just totally aces the communication by metaphor. And he goes, what do you think, boss? This is how the episode ends. He goes, what do you think? Is these new friends? He goes, well, at least there's no new enemies. And then there's an epilogue with Picard reading, and Riker comes in with a damage report. He goes, what are you reading, some Greek, sir? He goes, yeah, the Homeric hymns, one of the root metaphors. Commander, connection, that commandment. Something, that commandment, that commitment meant more than his own life. He goes, thank you, no. Yeah, I'll read through these, another set of notes, but then Picard goes to the window and he kind of signs goodbye to his friend, the Tamarian, and that was our first ever run through of a Next Gen episode. Thanks.
All right, everybody, Scoots here. I'm doing our month in review on Sleep With Me Plus, which is similar, if you're still listening on Patreon, if you could think about moving over. But it's going to be similar to what you would have seen there this month. And as far as the ad-free episodes, a lot of them are coming out in the ad-supported feed that you all listen to as well. I got to find the right podcast app. So I was also buying time because, so on Sleep With Me Plus, one of the main differences, everything is separated out into its own feeds. So there's four different podcasts. I'm going to start with the bonus episode podcast. So it just has bonus shows. And on March 2nd, a mayor tour, Welcome to Scooterville, a Posty special edition super deluxe episode came out. These are really cool. They come out on a couple Saturdays a month. And these are something that's just really been really important to me. Ideally, down the road, we'll have budget to do more, or somebody else even do a version two. But it's basically Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful. It takes an episode of Sleep With Me and reimagines it in a sense. That's pretty much it. That's all the instructions for Chris. Hey, take an episode, reimagine it. But this year, Chris has been doing this for years. So in the bonus feed, it's years and years and years of this. As a matter of fact, in the bonus feed I'm looking at, there's 377 episodes. I think that's in the Boar Besties feed. But so right now in 2020, four. Is that what year it is? Chris is doing this Scooterville series. So definitely worth checking out if you're like, love Sleeping Me, you're looking for something like a little bit different with some sound design, you want to listen to it during the day, or a lot of people, when they start to support the show and they discover these, this is what they sleep to because everybody's a little bit different. What else we got in this feed? Audio news, Scooterville. Oh, Contact. TNG Contact Part 2 came out since I think we last recorded this. And then a Fearless Flyer episode is about to come out. I think maybe this week, the February Fearless Flyer episode. Okay, then Boar Besties and Boar Friends also get a feed with All Intro and All Night shows. So Thursday night, All Intro episode came out. Weird, the All Night episode, I might have archived it, but Big Farm in the Sky, PI, huh, I guess there's an all-night episode that's going to come out or should be in this feed that is, so doesn't seem to be there. So this is good. I'm checking this. This is live quality control. Maybe it's in another feed. I put it in the wrong feed. But yeah, not sure which one it is either. So I'll have to look into that. So that's interesting. Okay, then you get a feed with ad-free full episodes. And so they don't have any, they don't have the supporter zone. They don't have the sponsor stuff. They don't have the mystery bard music or the thank yous at the end. But they are something that, because you can listen to that in the ad-supported version, right? But so let's see, episode 1245 came out Sunday. That was Great British Bake Off episode 8. Multiplex episode 3 came out. Hickory Dickory Farms. Ren Faire with Ray came out March 3rd, 1243. 1242 Bake Off episode 7 came out February 25th. Multiplex episode 2 came out. Julius J. Juice. What else we got? 1240 Apple Cider Redo. That was Trader Joe's Shop and Cook episode. Big retraction in that one. You know, retracted my opinion on apple cider donuts from Trader Joe's. So, yeah, and then the audio news. And then in story only, we had, C12, the same thing. Everything comes out on Sleep With Me Plus. This is so cool. There's something we only have been able to do since we moved to a new platform. Is we're able to put out the story only episodes and the full episodes on the same day because they're in separate podcasts. We couldn't do that on the old platform because everything would just been too clogged up and it would just been too confusing for a large number of people. So now, yeah, story only, there's like a lot of story only fans and yeah, they got the same thing. Great British Bake Off 8, Multiplex 3, Ren Faire with Ray, Great British 7, Multiplex 2, Trader Joe's Shop and Cook, Apple Cider, then Dessert Week, Great British Bake Off, whatever, episode 6, Multiplex 1, Wandering Towers, Board Game Unboxing. So yeah, that's everything that came out this week. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I've been working really hard at the planning calendar, and we got some exciting stuff coming up to sleep to. That's so exciting, you don't need to listen to it. What do we have? Multiplex 7 I recorded yesterday. Started writing Multiplex 8 today. These are a couple months away, but the Guild, the web series of the Guild, did a part of season 1 of that, and we're definitely going to do season 1 of that and probably season 2, maybe go on. I don't know. Maybe do season 1 and season 2 and take a break. Those will be coming out late spring, early summer. I came up with 2 new ideas for random Tuesday episodes. One with pillow, like other plush friends, a pillow pet, and then another one that would be called the Marble Vagabond. And those were episode ideas that came out of intros. Neither of those has been recorded, though. Those intros were recorded. The Marble Vagabond intro will be in part 2 of our coverage of the movie Bring It On. What else have we recorded? We did an episode called Willy Wonka Interactive Experience, Immersive Adventure, which I was really happy with. And that's going to be a new genre of Sleep With Me style show of like... poorly run immersive experiences like the one like that kind of got a lot of press, and we got to work on the audio for something very similar, but it was called the Wildy Wonga experience. Also not a very high budget experience, but at least it had audio from Scoots or a narrator like Scoots. So that'll come out late spring, early summer. And then our crossover series, we got three episodes done, episode 2, 3, and 4 from season 1. So that'll be coming out this spring too and summer. So yeah, that's everything right now. And thanks so much. If you're listening, it's a free feed. It'd be great. If you think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. This enables us to do everything we do, and those of you that support the sponsors, we also really count on those of you that just spread the word about the show. So thank you for doing that, and that's it. Good night, everybody.